First Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll do the first 11 verses. The day of the Lord is what we're going to look at. So let's read the text, we will pray, and then we will begin. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Thank you, Jesus, for this encouragement and comfort that we receive from your word concerning your day, the day when you return and establish your righteous reign, the day when the whole world is renewed, recreated, rebeautified, back to the perfection that it was in Eden. Lord, the day when you come down with your full power and authority and get rid of your enemies, judge and punish and lock them up in a pit. And Lord, as your word is here for us today, we don't want to be ignorant. We don't want to be asleep. We don't want to be drunk or in the darkness about this. We want to be aware so that we can know the signs of the age. So we can know that because you're coming, Lord, that we should, as your word gives us wisdom here, be full of faith. That we should grow in our faith. That, Lord, we should be burning with your love, on fire for you, and pouring down ourselves and pouring out ourselves for others, oh God, as you love them through us. Lord, that we may be full of hope, anticipating, waiting, expecting, sure that you're coming, oh Lord. So Jesus, we want to be ready, we want to be prepared, we want to be aware. And that's why we are in your word. So I ask that you give us strength and you build us up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we talked about death. Did you think about death last week? All week? Did you dream about it? Did you go to bed and thinking, maybe this is going to be my last nap, my last night? And for a fact, looking through scripture, the dead are alive. Remember the story of Saul consulting a witch? Who does he hear from? The prophet, who had died. He's more than alive. How about Jesus in the mountain of transfiguration? Who is he having a meeting with? Moses and Elijah, alive. And today we see the day of the Lord. We have our day. God has his. Maybe you do celebrate the day you're born. I still don't get it why we celebrate birthdays. Like you're rejoicing because I'm growing older or because I'm alive? Which one? Maybe you're happy, like, yeah, he's growing older. We can celebrate. He always thought we'd be young. Anyway, we celebrate because there is life to celebrate. We're celebrating giving God thanks for a life that has been born and that is still in existence. But there's going to be a day that the Lord intervenes, judges his enemies, and he effects his righteousness forever and ever. And the Bible says here that concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write to you. They were aware. They knew this was for sure going to happen. They have so much information from the Old Testament, from the books of Daniel, Amos, Isaiah, Ezekiel. They all talked about the day of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and, testing him, asked that he should show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather, today, and for the sky is red and threatening. And he says, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You can tell the weather. We can wake up, look at the sky, and we think it's going to be a sunny day. Or maybe it's going to be a rainy day. And this technology has even advanced. The satellites can see rain coming in days. And they'll tell you on this particular day, at this particular time, it will be raining in Kampala. And it does rain because they see everything up there. Jesus would say to us, the same thing, hypocrites. You can tell the weather. You can predict the weather correctly. But you do not know the signs of the return of the king. You're completely ignorant. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, to destroy. And he will destroy its sinners from it. The prophet Amos, as the people were asking about the day of the Lord, and they were excited, the day of the Lord, he said, you're asking for the day of the Lord. It's a day of destruction on the one side. Don't even talk about the day of the Lord. You know what's coming. And you know who he's going to destroy? You, because you don't listen to him. So the day of the Lord denotes the day when God intervenes in history to judge his enemies, deliver his people, us who believe, and establish his kingdom. For the most part of the centuries, the world has been dominated by evil, dominated by men. In fact, the Bible refers to these ages as the days of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, when as if God has said, fine, you manage your affairs. And how effectively have we done that? Look at all the politics around the world. How effective is this world run? And just like it was in the days of Noah, when God said, I'm not going to strive with these people anymore. I'm not going to struggle with them again. I am completely done. And he reigned and judged the world. And God is going to do that. You men, evil men, have had your day. You've had your days. But mine is going to come and is going to be fulfilled really soon. We're going to see some signs here in a moment. Now, the interesting thing about the day of the Lord is that it has kind of two faces. On the one side, he's coming unexpected. On the other side, it is inevitable, just like labor pains for somebody who is expecting. So everything is going to be business as usual, and there you go, he's up in the sky, coming riding down on a white horse. On the one side, he will find a world in a business as usual mode, and then he brings disaster. So everything is going as everybody expects. Then all of a sudden, disaster. We'll see more details in the book of Revelation. On the one side, he's coming in judgment to punish evildoers. And at the same time, thereafter, he does what? He effects his righteousness. So let's look at one. He is coming unexpected, but it is inevitable. Mark chapter 13, verse 32. But of the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. The Son obviously knows, but he's speaking as a man. I can't even tell you. Only the Father knows. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, what do we see? Behold, he says, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Most people will be caught unaware, but yet Jesus at the same time made the promise, it's inevitable, I have to come. A second bit is him finding a world in a business as usual mode and then brings disaster. In Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 30, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate and drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, they bought, sold, they planted, they built, but on the day that that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The world is, for the most part, recovering from a pandemic. Projections, economic projections are being made. In a few years, we'll be here. In a few years, we'll be here. We need to rebuild this. We need to strengthen our medical systems. We have to, you know, build roads and connect our continent. 5G internet is active in some places of the world. Probably in a few years, 6 or 7G networks will be built. The world will be planning and projecting and rolling as usual. And then all of a sudden, disaster. A third of the world will completely be burnt out in one go. We'll see some details in Revelation when we get there. And thirdly, he's coming to judge and then effect righteousness. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. and the armies of heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a scene. When everyone is going around as usual, it's a normal day. The sky opens and there he is on a white horse. And millions of heavenly armies, angels. And then obviously the saints, those who had gone to be with him, coming down with him riding horses. Have you started taking your horse riding lessons? Or you'll wait till you get to heaven. He speaks and his word is as sharp as a sword to destroy. His robe is dipped in blood. He has been trampling over his enemies. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's a name John writes that, you know, nobody knows. We don't even know. He could not tell what the name was on his thigh. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is this where we get the knight in bright shining armor? You know that phrase? There he is. Concerning the times of seasons. So, briefly, let me outline for you the events that lead up to the return of Jesus Christ, to the Lord's Day. One, we need to be aware of what is happening with the nation of Israel. When we see the nation of Israel making peace with all those Arab nations, you know the day is actually very close. And in the recent past, just a few years, maybe just a few months, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates, and a few others are making peace. I think Bahrain, they've made peace, normalized relationships, and more are going to follow. I think Qatar as well. Because there's going to be this figure that the world is going to vote in as the world leader. He's going to be a brilliant guy, economic figure, political figure, any figure that you want. Very impressive, very brilliant. And he's going to promote world peace. And that is actually happening around the world. The world is promoting peace and peace and peace. He's actually going to make the final, he's going to broker the final deal between Israel and all those Arab states, and he's going to allow them to rebuild a temple, a third temple, and he's going to allow them to continue worship. So right where the temple was, there is the dome of the dome of the mosque, and it has actually been discovered that it wasn't exactly where the temple was, it's actually the outer court where Jesus actually cleansed. So the original venue for the temple is actually blank. There, the temple is going to be rebuilt. And they're going to resume normal sacrificial worship. 3 years down, 3.5 years down the agreement, it's going to be a 7-year agreement. 3.5 years down the agreement, he's going to claim to be God and is going to demand worship. And he's going to all these demands on humans. Worship me, bow down before me, or my image in that temple all across the world. Take my mark, the mark of the beast. The 666 mark, that means you belong to me kind of a thing. In that day, when that happens, Jesus then starts to intervene. Just in the middle of that 7-year period, Jesus now starts to intervene. So the day of the Lord is not just one event, it's a series of events that seal up to him effective righteousness on this world. And we live very close to that. We may very well see that agreement signed very soon as one nation is making peace with Israel with another. We also know that the world is day by day so fast getting digital. Everybody's going to be numbered. You cannot do anything right now without your national ID. Why is it so? Don't they know you're Ugandan and you're born here and you have your mother and grandmother and uncle around? But because the entire world is going to be under one database and all nations have been told, register all your citizens. And in just a few years, everyone from birth will be registered and death. Eventually, they'll know every citizen of the world when they're born and wherever they are around the world. And this technology is actually admirable. When they bring in digital chips, for example, there's going to be advantages, lots of advantages. One, you can't lose it. Two, nobody can hack into your system. Nobody can steal your money from the bank. So that will not be the 666 mark, though. It will just be a banking or, you know, biodata chip under your skin. So wherever you go, where are you from? Just scan my palm and you know I'm a Ugandan. I am 41. I am married. I have 4 kids. I'm a pastor. All right, go. That won't be the 666 mark, though. It will just be a digital system that the world runs on. Though that system will enable the 666 mark to make it easier. And we have to be aware of all this. It is actually happening in our own sight. So right now, they're not issuing Ugandan passports anymore. They're issuing the East African passport. Soon, it will not be the East African passport. It will be the African Union passport. And soon, it won't even be the African Union passport. So all these digital systems will be merged, and it will be one system. You won't even need a passport. It will be under your arm. And we have to be aware these things are happening. Not to scare us, but to inform us. And the point of this, Jesus says, you need to be comforting each other with this thing because they're happening so fast. I'm coming for you. Don't worry. I'll be coming for you. So we live very close to the unleashing of this seven-year agreement that the world will make with Israel and the Arab states. And he says there that when they say peace, peace, the world is planning, promoting peace. Sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You are aware of what's happening, so that this day does not overtake you as a thief. You have been robbed before, haven't you? How come these guys are so smart? They always catch us by surprise. How come they do that? You know, so sometimes because of exhaustion or forgetfulness, you don't lock your door and nobody bothers you, right? And you wake up and like, hey, my door was open. But what happens the day you make everything locked and safe? Somebody came in. A thief in the night. Always expected, but not you. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. So I read a story in South Africa because of the robberies in Johannesburg. A lot of families actually sleep. They have a trick to outsmart the thugs. So they do buy a coffin and they put in a dummy, some clothes and a toy covering the face, and it looks like a funeral. So just in case thugs break in, they're like, oh, this is a funeral. Let me go to the next house, kind of a thing. They outsmart the thugs. He says, maybe you should do that too. Do not sleep. And this is not the sleep of death. This is the sleep of being completely unbothered or ignorant of what is happening around us. Maybe you've dozed off in a taxi before. I have, in a bus. I remember one time I took a bus. I was coming from Nairobi and I was supposed to jump out in Mokono. And I tried to keep awake so hard. Then what happens? Just approaching Mokono town, I think just about where Namagunga SS is. And off I went. I woke up in Beogere. I was like, no. I had to jump out and then I lived in Mokono back in the day, and take a taxi back. Do not sleep, he says. Things will happen and you'll wake up and, well, you won't wake up, you'll be taken, but others will wake up and they'll be surprised what is happening. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who drink get drunk at night. For some reason, drinking is associated with darkness. People don't, obviously, you come from maybe a community that's just drinking. So I wake up and they're trading center. The guys who are just drunk. Like in the morning, they're drunk. In the night, they're drunk. But normally, people are sober during the day. And they then go to drink in the evening. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. So be sober, clear-minded, watchful, alert. If you know a thief may come that night, you don't go to sleep, do you? You stay awake. And maybe they come and they're like, oh, they notice you're awake, they go. And he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. From verses 4 onwards to verse 11, it says, be ready. Verses 1 to 3 says, the day of the Lord is coming. 4 to 11, be ready. Be watchful. Be sober. Be alert. So let's look at some signs of the seasons. I've mentioned a few, but let's look at scripture. Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 to 14. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many false prophets. How many are there around our city? Every corner. In every corner, there's somebody preaching a false gospel. Some even claiming to go to heaven and back. Blasphemous. And you'll hear rumors of war. You hear of wars, rather, and rumors of war. How many of those do we hear every day? Do you hear what's happening in the South China Sea, Taiwan and China and the U.S. getting involved? How about in the Middle East, Iran and Israel? How about in Europe, Russia and Ukraine? How about in the neighborhood, us and Rwanda, right? The borders are closed. Just to mention a few. Kenya and Somalia fighting over some bit of the ocean, the Indian Ocean. Wars and rumors of war. He says, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Don't be troubled. Just be aware they're happening. So one, falsehood. Two, wars and rumors of war all across the world. And then three, for nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's actually going to be war. Not just hear of wars or rumors of war, there's actually going to be war. You hear of the wars happening around the world. In fact, in just the last 100 years, the world has seen more wars than compared to all the wars fought in history. In just the last 100 years, complete disorder around the world. War in Somalia, as we speak. War in Afghanistan, among the Israelites and the Palestinians. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. Disasters, natural disasters in various places. You can imagine the world that makes a lot of food. Some places still suffer famine. The world that is so sophisticated with medical progress, but there are still pests and diseases and earthquakes, and they are in various places. We are actually living through a pandemic right now. And Jesus says these things are going to happen, and their intensity, their frequency, you should notice. There is disaster literally everywhere, more frequent than ever before. Volcanic eruptions, surprise! Iceland recently, in some place in South America, and people have to leave. Like, the thing has been dormant for hundreds of years. All of a sudden, New Zealand, just last year, two tourists were banned climbing a mountain that had been declared dormant, a dormant volcano. We could see the Rwenzori's erupt, or Elgon, or Kilimanjaro. Who knows? Famines, earthquakes, tsunamis, buildings collapsing, the lake level rising, the river levels rising. That hasn't happened in 50 years. Some people who had thought they want to build their houses near the lake, they have to move. And those waters are going to keep rising. And it says, all these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Persecution against Christians. We are the only ones who are going to be hated by all nations because of our beliefs. There's going to be constant. This has happened in many countries in Europe and America, and obviously America, North America rather. There's constant legislation against biblical principles, and especially Christians. You cannot say certain things in public. You go to jail. You probably heard the story of this guy. He owns a bakery, and you know the gay guys come and they want a cake to celebrate whatever it is. And he says, no, it's my bakery. I'm not going to bake for your cake. And they sued him. They closed him. I mean, you have your bakery. Own it. You can say, I'm not going to bake for your cake. You go away. And somebody sued because you refused to bake them a cake. And in essence, by refusing to bake them a cake, you hate them. So for us to travel to the U.S., maybe you have applied, but there's a series of questions they ask you. Are you homophobic? Do you hate gay people? You have to say no. Are you going to go there and speak anti-gay agenda? You have to say no, or else they will not allow you in. You will not go in. Even if you're going to, you have to say no on the application, right? Like, no, but now I'm going to do it. We are going to be persecuted. We have to be aware. Simply because we believe in Jesus Christ and we have biblical principles to follow. That is happening in some places. It is coming here. It is coming really fast. And then many will be offended, will betray one another. There is so much hatred and treachery. So many traitors around the world. Have you been a victim? People you know, people you trust, they turn against you. It is going to multiply. Politically, economically, business, you know, family. And this is literally meant to destroy and separate and disunite people, even among Christians. The enemy comes, plants someone, and then all he wants to grow is cause trouble. And we'll hate one another. Do you see so much love around us? There's more hatred than love. Where is that coming from? Obviously, the pit of hell. In a country that is supposedly 80% Christian, you don't see much love, do you? You don't see much truth. You recently heard the testimony when the UN said, oh, there's abductions in Uganda, and the Foreign Affairs Minister says, no! And you're thinking, really? As in, they have the boldness to say, no, that's not true. They know it's true. then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. We've seen that. And because lawlessness will abound, lawlessness rather, world over, there are laws being enacted every day as we speak. But lawlessness is multiplying like a wildfire. So we have traffic laws, for example. Excellent traffic laws. There are traffic officers in key corners around the city. But how much lawlessness do you see? Just traffic. Somebody's going to bump into you and it's your fault. What are you doing there? You understand? Like, it's your fault. And the traffic officers are like, what can I do? Like, you're the law enforcer. Why don't you do something? Like, oh, those guys have a different boss or whatever it is. For example, corruption in statistics, the corruption index in the 60s, just after independence, after the, I think up to 1980, it was just about 25%. There was literally nobody cared so much. Just 25%, very minimal. Right now, our corruption index is at 75%. That means this, 75% of public spending is completely unaccounted. Much more than normal, right? Majority of what government spends cannot be traced. You can imagine that. And it's happening. Abortion in the 1960s, about one country had legalized abortion. Just one in the 1960s. Just a little over 40 years ago. Right now, over 50 countries. 50. From one to 50 in that period of time. And the pressure is mounting on just about everyone. It's going to be international law very soon. Homosexuality, for example. In the 1960s, no country had allowed officially homosexuality. No country whatsoever in the 1960s. Right now, 29. And soon, that number is going to multiply. In just the last few years, about 10 countries, Australia, Japan, and a few others, in just the last 2 years, 2019 and 2020, about 10 countries have legalized either abortion or homosexuality or both. In our own country, adultery is not in the penal code anymore. You cannot be held accountable for unfaithfulness in marriage anymore by our constitution. You commit it, that's your problem. Go home. Lawlessness is going to increase, much as the world is making more and more laws. The love of many will grow cold. The love for God and the love for one another is going to grow so cold. Many in so many places are what you call liberal Christians. God's love gone cold. They believe in God, but they don't believe in miracles, and they don't even talk about him. You ask them, they believe in God, yes, but they don't talk about him. But it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. When all this is happening, and it's happening around us, you know what's happening? The gospel is making more progress than you think. The gospel that we preach, this Bible, is actually spreading like a wildfire. You'll not find it in the news. People are getting saved, even through this pandemic, like never before. Because the news doesn't really report that, right? It's only bad news on TV. But the gospel is making so much progress in China, in the Middle East. In fact, in probably two decades, China will be the most Christian country, many predict. And this is because the Bible says, as a witness to all the nations, they will hear about Jesus. So when he comes to judge, they are without excuse. They cannot say, oh, we did not know. No, you knew. In the middle of all this corruption, God is empowering many to preach the gospel. That's praiseworthy, right? That is exciting, right? Are you part of those many who, among all these difficulties, people are preaching the gospel? Are you preaching the gospel? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. Got that wrong in my notes. Verses 2 to 5. But know this. Verses actually 1 to 5, I'm sorry. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, the Bible warns, run away. About 18 things happening among us: selfishness, greed, traitors, stubborn, runaway children, pleasure seekers. So apparently bars are closed, right? But don't you see them open? Literally open. And there are hundreds of cars around a bar, and they're like, bars are closed. I mean, if you're a police officer, you just go and park there, right? And everybody in. if the law was effective. These things are happening around us, not to scare us, but Paul says, to make us aware of the times and seasons. It's cloudy, for sure we know it's going to rain. We have to pull out an umbrella before we leave home. So what should we do? He says, let us who are of the day, verse 8, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. A breastplate is a chest guard. Remember the guy who campaigned for presidential position? He had a breastplate. Did you see that? To guard against any attack on his vital organs. And we have faith and love as a guard against the attacks of the enemy on us. We have to walk around with this guard, this enemy-proof guard against our hearts especially, against our breath, the heart and the lungs. You need to guard your heart. We've talked about this. Guard your heart from evil. And how you do that? Faith and love. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus asks a question. I tell you what, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? When Jesus comes, obviously, he's coming to avenge the first part of the verse there. But the second part, when he comes, will he find us still trusting him, holding on to him? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all of who you are. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Hold on tight to God, that's what it says. And that is a guard against all the attacks of the enemy on us. Faith is a breastplate, it's a guard. Secondly, love. Many love God, but their love is growing cold. They're becoming lukewarm. They're lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and then what? Lovers of pleasure. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Christians who are extremely given to the love of money? They're extremely given to the love of what? Pleasure. And they're extremely given to the love of self. You know them, right? Christians. You can imagine. You go to church and it's money. It's money. I've been told about this church, and every Sunday they have a service on money. Now I understand, you know, the teaching on investment and all those things. Those are good, great things. We're not against entrepreneurship and starting a business and managing finances. Those things are actually in the Bible. But I cannot go to church and every Sunday it's about money first. Well, I don't have it first of all, or maybe I have too much of it. I want God, right? More than money, I want the Lord. And it happens every week, Christians, believers. While others are giving themselves the love of money, the love of self, and the love of stuff, we need to give ourselves the love of God, the love of one another. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord. This is the summary of the entire law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like it. And this is it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no other commandment greater than this. And some have even reversed that. You shall love yourself first, then love your neighbor. Have you heard that? You already love yourself enough. You need to love others. We need to hold on tighter to the Lord, Christians, through this age. We need to demonstrate our love for him more, a commitment for him more and more. That guards our hearts from evil, from being soaked up by the pressures of evil around us. And lastly says, hope as a helmet of salvation. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation, it says, for God did not appoint us to wrath. We will not suffer his wrath. We've already been justified, but to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we are awake and we are up in the sky with him, or he finds us asleep, our bodies are buried, we are up and forever be with him. And it says, therefore, comfort one another or build one another, just as you are also doing, build each other up with faith, with love and hope. That is also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, actually 12 and 13, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of love, superseding the gifts of the Spirit. Hope as a helmet to guard our minds and thinking, to help us be sober. You've met somebody who is drunk. They do not know what is happening. They have been exposed to so much danger, they don't even know. A helmet is supposed to protect us. We're supposed to have one on our heads when we're riding on a motorbike or a bicycle. Just in case you drop off, at least your head will be fine. That is your central processing unit. It will be fine. You may lose your legs, lose your hands, at least you have a mind that is fully functional. Guard your thinking. Encourage. Stir up one another to love, to faith, to a constant expectation of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So many times that phrase is used. "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Our hope is constantly expecting and anticipating newness of heaven and earth that God is preparing for us right now. I can't wait. Now you can imagine we've just talked about a few things regarding what is going to happen just a few years from now, maybe just a few decades from now. So imagine living in a world that is going to constantly be polluted, constantly be lawless, increasingly disorderly. Disasters. We're going to wake up and there's another disaster tomorrow, and there's another disaster next week, and then there's another disaster next month. So the world probably solving the pandemic with the vaccine. Who knows what's coming after this? You know the way out of this? Trust in the Lord. Love him deeper. Expect him to come. Expect him to come. When you know he's coming, the Bible says, then you will be ready. If you're a bride, you know your groom is coming. You know when your wedding is coming. You don't really go to sleep, do you? Every day you're preparing for that day. And likewise, as his bride, we know he's coming. Given to godliness. Looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. The Lord's day is coming. Be ready. You will be ready, growing in your faith, growing in your love, and growing in your expectation of him. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us wisdom and insight regarding your day. A day when you come, because evil has had its day. Evil has had its days and years and centuries. And it's your time to intervene and judge and effect righteousness and re-beautify this planet that fully belongs to you. As your word says, yeah, we don't want to be ignorant and asleep. We want to be sober and alert. When these things happen, Lord, you know what you're doing, and we need to be aware of what you're doing. You're giving us signs of the end of this age, signs of your day. We're excited because it's a day that you effect righteousness, and many are committed to righteousness all across this world. And I pray that many may commit to. And maybe you hear and you have not given your life to Jesus. You're still in your sin and you want his righteousness. Would you please do that today? Would you just reach out to God and say to him, God, just come into this life and sweep away every sin and give me your righteousness. Make me a child, and I'm ready to be with you when you call us home. Because we are aware of these things, Lord, I pray that we may grow in our faith, that we may continue trusting in you even the more. Lord, that we may love you and love one another even more deeply. As some grow cold, we want to be fired up, stirred up to love and good works. Lord, I pray that we may daily live anticipating your return. That these things should not trouble us, but they should excite us. We know your righteous reign is sooner and sooner. In Jesus' name we pray.